Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old, and unto him hath he given all that he hath. It is written, and my master made me swear, saying, Thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my father's house, and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son. It is written, And I said unto my master, Peradventure the woman will not follow me.
For God is just a prayer away.
And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my country, unto my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the king said to his servants, As many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. From the dust of the weary highway, from the smart of sorrow's rod, into the royal presence they are bidden as guests of God. The veil from their eyes is taken, sweet mysteries they are shown. Their doubts and fears are over, for they know as they are known. And for them there shall be rejoicing and festival array, as for the bride in her beauty, whom love has shown the way. Sweet hours of peaceful waiting, till the path that we have trod shall end at the Father's gateway, and we are the guest of God.
For God is just a prayer away.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this message from Genesis 24, the two brides. Now, remember, Abraham was old and well stricken in years. So he called unto him his most trusted servant and gave him a mission. His mission was to go and find a bride for his son Isaac. So you see, a wedding was being planned, and this event is a picture of another wedding that was being planned. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like unto a king who made a marriage feast for his son. Just as Abraham sent the old servant to find a bride for his son Isaac, the Heavenly Father has sent the Holy Spirit to find a bride for his son Jesus. Isaac was a type of Jesus in the resurrection. In Hebrews, we are told that Abraham received Isaac back again from the dead in a figure. Now watch how these two events play out. For one thing, both brides would come from afar off. Abraham instructed the old servant not to take a wife for his son from the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I now dwell, but go to my country and take a wife from my kindred. And the bride of Christ also comes from afar off. Paul tells us in Ephesians, But now in Christ Jesus have ye that were once afar off been made nigh by the blood of Christ. And again he tells us, And he came and preached peace to them that were afar off. Before we became Christians, we were as far off from heaven as we could possibly be. The sun is about 93 million miles away. Without Christ in your life, you are infinitely farther away from heaven than that. As far as I can tell, you are just as far away from heaven as heaven is from hell. Note also that neither Isaac nor Jesus went out to look for the bride in person. Abraham sent the old servant, and God sent the Holy Spirit to find the bride for Jesus. Jesus will not come to earth again and teach us or preach to us in person. The bride of Jesus is courted through the preaching of the Word of God, the Bible that is the inspired book of the Holy Spirit. Remember, holy men spake from of old as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The message concerning the great bride of the church will come to you from the Bible and no place else. And that is why history has very little to say about the Lord Jesus Christ from a historical standpoint. We believe in Jesus not from the standpoint of secular history, but from the standpoint of the testimony of the inspired Word of God. Rebecca had only the word of the old servant, and we have only the word of the inspired Scriptures to tell us of Christ and the heavenly home. She was to go from home and marry a man she had never seen. The bride of Jesus is also composed mainly of people who never saw the Lord Jesus Christ while he was on earth. Now, the old servant sees a problem here in the search for the bride. He tells Abraham, "Peradventure, the woman will not follow me into this land." The land of Canaan had been promised Abraham, but at this time it was not ready for occupancy. It would be about 400 years before the promise would be fulfilled in the days of Joshua. That is always the problem in preaching the Word of God. We may tell people of the great bridegroom. We tell them all things are ready, come to the marriage feast, and they make light of it and go their way. What then are we to do? Abraham tells the old servant, "If the woman will not be willing to follow you, then thou shalt be clear from thy oath." The same is true for the preaching of the Word today. People cannot be forced to come into the church at the point of a gun. We are not required to be successful. We are only required to be faithful in the proclamation. Then consider the warning Abraham gave the old servant. The old servant said, "If she will not come, must I bring thy son into the land whence thou camest?" Abraham said, "Beware that thou bring not my son thither again." Isaac was not to go back into the country he came from. The world wants the church to accommodate their booze, their gambling, and their perversion. "Beware thou bring not my son thither again." Sometimes the world is not willing to make this spiritual journey. They want to bring the Lord down to their level. Jesus can save you from sin, but he will not save you if you choose to remain in your sin. We are like the situation of the apostles that Jesus prayed about. Jesus, in his prayer for them, said, "I pray not that thou shouldst take them from the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil one." While we as Christians are in the world, we are not to be of the world. Notice next now the method the old servant used to ensure the best possible results. He had taken 10 camels loaded with his master's goods and goes on his journey and finally arrives at a well. The well was the place where the women came to draw water. If we are to be successful in finding prospects for the bride of Christ, we have to go where the prospects are. And that is why we bring this broadcast to you. You cannot come to us, so we bring the message to you. The old servant's next move was to ensure success. was not only to go where the women were, but also then he had a little talk with the Lord about the situation. He prayed, O Lord God, of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send to me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the best method in courting the bride of Christ. Remember that the church began on the day of Pentecost after a 10-day prayer meeting. First they went into the presence of God, and then into the presence of men. That is our best method today. Go where the people are, but before you approach prospects, go into the presence of God first, and then into the presence of men. When the old servant arrived at the well, after his prayer, he proposed a test to see if the right woman would respond. Listen in as the old servant talks to the Lord. He said to the Lord, Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, Let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. The test that the old servant proposed is the test at the water. Before he was done speaking, behold, Rebekah came. The right woman was on the way, even as the old servant prayed. Remember, one time Jesus said that the Father knows our needs even before we ask him. So Rebekah was on the way before he even prayed. So the old servant runs to meet her and says, Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. She said, Drink, my lord. And she let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she was done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also. She did, and she passed the water test. That is the test for the bride of Christ. The test is at the water also. Over and over we are told that we are saved by faith. Do you have faith? Do you have faith enough to do what the Lord wants you to do? Do you have faith enough to pass the water test? Hear Jesus as he told Nicodemus, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Is your faith great enough to pass the test at the water? Then just as soon as the camels had finished drinking, the old servant gave Rebekah some gifts. He gave her a golden earring of half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekel weight of gold. Ladies and gentlemen, the same is true for the bride of Christ. When the test at the water is passed, there are some gifts that will change hands. According to Peter, when the people heard about the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross and his resurrection, he told them to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and their sins would be remitted, and they would receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Not only that, but there's more. After the resurrection, when the Lord ascended, Paul tells us that he ascended on high and led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Some of the gifts are mentioned. He gave some to be apostles and some prophets and some pastor teachers. The church still enjoys these gifts today. The apostles and the prophets are the same ones we always had, even though they have fallen asleep. The church only needs one set of apostles. They still lead us and teach us through the teaching they left for us in the Bible. The old servant went home with Rebekah and met her brother Laban. They tried to give the old servant something to eat, but he refused. Until he told his errand. The telling of the story, both then and now, needs to have priority. The message first, and then other things second. The message is the main thrust, not gospel entertainment, as some think. So the old servant insisted on telling his story first. When he told what happened, giving all the aforesaid details, Laban said, "This is from the Lord." He recognized the answer of God that was given the old servant's prayer as a sign that this was of God. When Rebekah's family was convinced that this was indeed the case, the old servant gave them some gifts. First, he gave Rebekah more gifts of jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. After giving her a whole new wardrobe, he also gave to her brother and her mother precious things. The same thing is true today wherever the gospel is preached. Not only do those who are a part of the bride of Christ receive many gifts, but the other people outside the family of God are blessed also by the gospel. Take notice of the difference in the prosperity of the United States and contrasting Central and South America. Those who settled in America were looking for religious freedom, although they did not always give the same thing to others. The settlers of South America came looking for gold. Democracy as we know it is a byproduct of the Lord's Word and His Church and the Lord Jesus Christ. There are efforts of some today to remove every mention of God and Christ from our documents of freedom and every mention of God everywhere. But ladies and gentlemen, we are still living on the momentum of a godly ancestry. And when that momentum slows down, that may be the end of the United States of America. When it was decided that Rebekah could go, her mother and brother pleaded for more time. They said, "She may go, but what's the big hurry? Why not wait at least 10 days? After that, she can go." There seems to be, for some, a sanctity in inherited religion. Whatever religion my parents had, I have to have also. That does not work that way for any other endeavor of life. No one feels like they have to be a dentist because Daddy was a dentist, or a teacher because Mama was a teacher. Your soul does not belong to your grandparents or your parents. You can speak for yourself in this life because you will have to speak for yourself on the judgment day. This is a typical reaction of many today regarding the decision to become a Christian. Procrastination is not only the thief of time, it is also the thief of salvation. Hell will have a great contingent of people who fully intended to go to heaven, but just never got around to it. They kept putting it off and putting it off. "Wait 10 days, Laban said. The old servant said, "Hinder me not. Seeing the Lord hath prospered my journey, send me away now." God said early in the first book of the Bible that His Spirit will not always strive with man. It is a dangerous thing to dally around with the Holy Spirit when He speaks through His word of obedience. You will decide when God tells you, or you may never decide at all. "My Spirit shall not always strive with men." Hell will be full of people whose eyes on earth sparkled with dreams of glory. Then her mother and brother said, "We will call the damsel," and inquired her mouth. They asked her, "Wilt thou go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." This decision meant that she would have to leave her family behind. Sometimes becoming a part of the bride of Christ means separation from our earthly family ties. I know a preacher who told me that when he became a Christian, his family regarded him as dead His mother told him later, "I used to have a son like you, but he died." There's nothing unusual about this, because the Lord said, "He came not to send peace on the earth, but a sword. I came to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household." Sometimes the decision to follow Jesus, the Lamb, wherever he goeth, comes at a great price. But remember, Jesus said, "Whosoever loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Wilt thou go with this man?" She said, "I will go." She might have said in the words of the song, "I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are noble, things that are better, these have allured my sight." She made a decision to marry a man she had never seen. As a part of the bride of Christ, we have never seen the great bridegroom. All we have to go on is the testimony of the Holy Spirit. But remember how the Lord said to Thomas, "Because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they who have not seen me, and yet who have believed." So the long journey began, and a new life began. As they drew near to her new home, Isaac went out in the field to meditate at eventide. He lifted up his eyes and saw the camels were coming. Eventide. He could see the camel caravan silhouetted in black against the red sunball. Rebecca lighted off the camel to meet Isaac, for the old servant had said, "That is my master Isaac." When we who once lived in that far country answered the invitation of the Holy Spirit, we also started on that long journey across the span of years. Our goal is always to be united with Jesus in the eventide of life, or at the second coming. Our old servant, the Holy Spirit, who guides us by the word of God through the long journey of life, will not have to identify us, however, when we see the Master, for we shall see him as he is, and we shall be made like him. I shall know him. I shall know him. And redeemed by his side I shall stand. I shall know him. I shall know him by the print of the nails in his hands. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready for the wedding. When Isaac told Rebecca, the old servant, told him the details, she became his wife. When the Lord comes again and we are caught up to meet the Lord in the air, we, like Rebecca, will become the wife of the Lamb. John tells us about it in the 19th chapter of Revelation. "And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunders. Alleluia! For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us rejoice and be glad, and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her it was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. And that will be the bride's trousseau, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, These are the true words of God." Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast, brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul's salvation. The address: Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again: Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition, tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away. For God is just a prayer.
moon.